B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan, Daf Yod Dalet. We're going to start from the Mishnah at the beginning of the next perek, four lines from the bottom of Daf Yod Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu megalchin b'moed. One's not really allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, but there are some who have an exception and they are allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and they are those who were honest, those who could not have a haircut before Yom Tov. Habami Medinas Hayom, if somebody comes from a distant country, he was far away, he just arrived in the country on Chol HaMoed, and he didn't have time to have a haircut before, he can have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Or Mibeis HaShivyo, if somebody was in captivity, Vayotze Mibeis HaSurin, or if he was in jail, V'Hamenuda, or somebody who was excommunicated, and one of the halachas of somebody who is in Nidui, he's not allowed to have a haircut. Shehitiru Loi Chachomim, that the Chachomim, they released him from his Nidui on Chol HaMoed. V'chein Mishenish'al L'Chochom V'Hutar, if somebody made a neder, a vow, that he's not going to have a haircut, and then on Chol HaMoed, he, with the rules of Nedarim, we'll learn about in Maseches Nedarim, the Chochem undid his vow, V'hanozir v'hametzeira mitumosei l'taharosei, or a nozir and a metzeira, who they finished their period of whatever was. There's many halachas of Naziris Matzeira, we won't go into them now, but there's a point in time where they have to have a haircut. If that point in time is on Chol HaMoed, then they're allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed because they could not have their haircut before Yom Tov. Continues the Mishnah, Ve'elu Mechabsin, regarding cleaning clothes, is a similar issue. B'moed, on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to clean clothes, wash clothes on Chol HaMoed. However, those who could not wash them before are allowed to wash them on Chol HaMoed. Habom Medinas Hayom, somebody who comes from far away and lands in the country on Chol HaMoed, Umibeis HaShivya, or if he was in captivity, Vayetz Mibeis HaSurin, or if he was in jail, Umenuda, or if he was excommunicated, Shehitiru Loi Chachomim, V'chein Mishenish'al L'Chochom V'Hutar, if somebody made a neder, he wasn't going to wash his clothes, and then that neder was undone by a Chochom on Chol HaMoed. In all those cases where he could not have a hair, he could not wash his clothes before Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to wash them on Chol HaMoed. Mitpachas yodaim, hand towels, mitpachas hasaporim, or the barber's cloths that they would use, or mitpachas hasfag, and the bath towels, or hazovin, vazovis, hanidois, vayoldois, which are these people who are tomei, v'chol ha'oilin mituma latara, and all those who were tomei and have now become tohir, harei lumutorin, they're allowed to wash their clothes in order that their clothes can become tohir. V'shar kol ha'odom, however, anybody else, asurin, is not allowed to wash their clothes on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, V'shar kol ha'odom mai tama asurin. Why are other people not allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed? Says the Gemara, Kedetnan, we learnt in the Mishnah in Maseches Tainis, Anshe Mishmor v'Anshe Maimud, we learnt about this in Maseches Tainis at length, but the Anshe Mishmor are the people who, it was their job to work in the Beis HaMikdosh that week, v'Anshe Maimud, they are the people who were representatives of Klal Yisrael, some of which were in the Beis HaMikdosh during the week, overseeing the Korbonos, Asurim Nesapir Ulechabes, they are not allowed to have a haircut and wash their clothes during the week that they are allotted to be in the Beis HaMikdosh. However, b'chamishi mutarin, on Thursdays, they're allowed to mepnei kveid HaShabbos because of the honor of Shabbos. That's what it says in the Mishnah in Tainis. V'omer Rabbi Bar Bar Chono, omer Rebbe Loza. It was explained in the name of Rebbe Loza. Mai tama, why indeed can these people not have a haircut or wash their clothes during that week? In order to prevent them from delaying washing themselves, having a haircut and washing their clothes, in order for them to avoid delaying it and say, oh, next week in any case, I've got to be in the Beis HaMikdosh, I might have some spare time, I'll do it then. He'll delay it till then, and what will transpire? That when he comes into the Beis HaMikdosh, he's going to be disrespectful. He won't have had his hair cut and his clothes won't have been washed. And therefore we say that once your week has started, you cannot have a haircut and you cannot wash your clothes. And that way they'll make sure to do it in advance and they will not come into the Beis HaMikdash disrespectfully. Hoch Hanami is in a similar theme in our Mishnah regarding Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed. K'dei shelo yikontzu l'regel k'shehen menuvolin. If people know that they can have their haircuts and wash their clothes on Chol HaMoed, they won't bother doing it before Yom Tov, and they'll come into Yom Tov disrespectfully. In order to avoid that, we say, once Yom Tov sets in, on Chol HaMoed, you cannot have a haircut and you cannot wash your clothes, and that way people will make sure to take care of themselves before Yom Tov. Says the Gemara Boyer Abzera. Rav Zera asked as follows, Avdo le'aveido erev haregel. What happens if somebody, he didn't have time to have a haircut on Erev Yom Tov, but not because he was not available, he was not here, but because he was otherwise occupied. He'd lost something of his, and he'd spent the whole Erev Yom Tov looking for it, and he couldn't have his haircut. Can he have a haircut on Chol HaMoed? Kiven de'onis mutar. Do we say that since he had no choice, he couldn't do it before Yom Tov, he can do it on Chol HaMoed? Oy Dilmo, maybe no. Kiven de lei muchach chamilsa, since it's not evident to everybody that he had a good reason not to have a haircut before, loy, he won't be able to have it on Chol HaMoed. Even though he had a good reason, people don't know that, and people will say that he intentionally waited for Chol HaMoed to have his haircut, and that's not allowed. So that's what Rav Zera asked. Omar Abaya. Abaya answered that it's clear that he cannot have his haircut. Why? Because people won't know. If you allow him to have a haircut, people will say, oh, everybody else can't have a haircut, and he can have a haircut. Yoimru, and this is similar to the Sirikin. Sirikin are those that would be able to decorate the matzahs. Most people, if they decorate the matzahs, by the time they decorate the matzahs before baking it, they'll be chometz. You're not allowed to do that. And therefore, they didn't allow people to decorate the matzahs. However, the baisus, they had a type of a stamp, a type of a mold, and they could easily decorate the matzahs with no delay that it wouldn't become chometz. So the Gemara discusses whether, Gemara in Pesachim discusses, are we allowing these people to decorate their matzahs? And the answer is no. Why? Because Yoimru people will say, Kol asrikin asurin, everybody else is not allowed to decorate their matzahs, but srike baisus mutorin, but baisus is allowed to decorate. It won't make sense to people. And so too here, if you say that everybody else cannot have a haircut and this person can have a haircut, people will get confused. Ulatameich. But now we have a question. Had Omer of Asi Omer Rabbi Yochanan? Did Rabbi Yochanan not say that kol mi she'ein le'el cholok echod, somebody who only has one tunic to wear, mutar l'chabsei b'chol shel moed, he's allowed to wash it on Chol HaMoed because he's got no change of clothes. Hosam nami, why are we not concerned there that Yoimru people will say kol asrikin asurin srike baisus mutorin? They'll compare it to the issue with the decorated matzahs, and they'll say everybody else is not allowed to wash their clothes and this person can wash their clothes. Says the Gemara, no. That's not, Rabbi Yochanan's scenario was not an issue. Why? Did we not learn about that case, that statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that Omar Mar Barav Ashi, a Zoiroi Moichiach Olov? Since when he's removing his tunic, he's got to wear, he can't be naked there, he's obviously wearing some overcoat and or a cloak, and he's putting a belt to close his overcoat so that he shouldn't be exposed while he's cleaning his tunic. So the belt that he's wearing around his cloak will be a statement to everybody, I don't have anything else to wear, and that's why I'm allowed to. And people will not get confused. Continues the Gemara. Rav Ashi Masni. Rav Ashi taught as follows. Boyer Rav Zera. Rav Zera's question was like this. Umon, a skilled workman. She'ovdo le'aveida erev oregel. That he lost something of his on Erev Yom Tov, and he was looking for it. Mao, what's the halacha? Can he have a haircut on Erev Yom Tov? And it's a bit different to the question we asked before, because before we asked a question, just an average layman who wasn't available because he was looking for his lost property. So there people wouldn't know why he didn't have a haircut before Yom Tov, and they'll get confused. But here, kiven to umanhu, since he's a skilled workman, everybody will know, mocha chamilsa. Everybody will know, it will be evident to all, that that he couldn't have a haircut before Yom Tov, and therefore he could have one on Chol HaMoed. Oy Dilmor, do we say no? Kiven de leimucha milsa ki hanoch, it's not as apparent as those mentioned in the Mishnah. The people just come out of jail, or out of captivity, or just landed on by boat from a far away distant place. Loy, and therefore, since it's not as evident as there, they cannot have their haircuts. And the Gemara says, Teiku, we have no way of resolving that, and we have to let that question stand for now. Continues the Gemara, Mimedina Sayom, if somebody came from far away, then he couldn't have his haircut before. He's allowed to have his haircut or wash his clothes on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, Masnis in this Mishnah, Deloik Reb Yehuda, seems not to be following Reb Yehuda. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Reb Yehuda Oimir, Habom Mimedina Sayom, if somebody comes from a far away place, Loye Galeach, he's not allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Why? Mipnei Sheyotzo Shalei Brashus, who told you to leave to such a faraway place? I understand you came back on Chol HaMoed, but did you have a good reason to go and travel? If you don't have a good reason to travel, then that's not a good enough excuse, and therefore coming back on Chol HaMoed, you're still not allowed to have your haircut or wash your clothes. Omar Rava. And Rava now explained Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa. Loshut, if he just went just to roam around the world and sightsee, Divrei Hakil Osa, there everybody agrees that there's no reason in the world to go sightseeing and to roam around the world, and therefore that type of travel would not allow you to have a haircut and wash your clothes when you come back on Chol HaMoed. L'mazoinis, but if you're going because you don't have anything to eat, you need to make a livelihood. Divrei Hakil Muta, everybody says that you're real onus, you had to travel, you really had no choice. Where's the machleikus between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda? That Rabbi Yehuda says Abom Medinas Hayom Lo Yigalech. That it's only Rabbi Yehuda. Elo Laharvicha, a person who he has what to live off. He wants to be rich. He wants to make even more money. So he went abroad in order to make more money. Mar Medami Leikoloshut. Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa says Abom Medinas Hayom Lo Yigalech. Because he says that going just to have extra wealth is compared to going just for luxury, and it's not called permission to leave, and therefore you cannot have your hair cut or wash your clothes. Umar, but the Chachomim who seem to argue with Rabbi Yehuda, they are Madame Leikel Mazonis. They say no, that since you're going to make money, it's similar, it's not just for luxury, and therefore it's like Mazonis, and when you come back, you can have your hair cut and wash your clothes. Meisvei, and now the Gemara is going to ask a question against Rava. Because Rava just made it clear that there's no machlekas if you're going out to roam and to sightsee, that it's not called rishus. You're going to make mezonos, it is rishus. If you're going to harviach, that's the machlekas Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. We have an issue with that, says the Gemara. Omar Rebbe. Rebbe said as follows, an interesting phrase. Nirin divri Rabbi Yehuda, kashiyotzo shalei b'rishus. When you went out voluntarily, you didn't have to go. Then the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. It seems that there's by Yotzo Shloi Bereshus, there's a machloikus Rabbi Yehuda in the Chachomim, and Rabbi said, it seems that Aloch is like Rabbi Yehuda in that case. Divrei Chachomim, kashi Yotzo Bereshus. But when he went out, when he was compelled to leave, he had to leave, there the halach is like the Chachomim. Again, it seems that there's a machleikus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim by Yotzo Birshus, and Rabbi said the halach is like the Chachomim by Yotzo Birshus, that you're allowed to have a haircut and wash your clothes. And now the Gemara is going to explain that we just saw in this Braisa from Rabbi that there's Birshus and Shaloi Birshus. My Shaloi Birshus. What does it mean at the beginning of this Braisa, Rebbe said that it seems like Rebbe Yehuda that you are not allowed to have your hair cut, like we saw before, Mehabom Medinas Hayom Lo Yigaleach, like Rebbe Yehuda, by Yotzo Shaloi Birshus. What's this Shaloi Birshus? My Shaloi Birshus. Ilei Meloshut. Does it mean he's going sightseeing? Va'omrus, did you rather not say, Divrei Hakel Asur? Everybody says that if he went sightseeing, when he comes back, he cannot have a haircut. So it wouldn't make sense for Rebbe to say, Nirin Divrei Rebbe Yehuda, if there's no machlokes. Elo, it must be that, what does it mean that when he went Shaloi Bereshus, it means L'mazoines. He went to make a livelihood. But that also can't be. V'omrus Divrei Hakel Mutar. How can Rebbe say that it seems that Loch is like Rebbe Yehuda, that it's Osir? You, Rava, said that there's no machlokes in that case, and everybody says it's Mutar. Elopshita, it must be, according to you, Rava, you would have to explain leharvicha, that when it says shaloi bereshus, it means he's going just to make extra money, that indeed there's a machlokes there, and Rebbe said the halacha seems to be like Rebbe Yehuda. But if so, let's move to the next words of the Braisa. That the Braisa says that in the case of Yotzah Birshus, there the halacha seems to be like the Chachomim. Well, what's that? What's called Rishus? That means what we're seeing clearly in the Braisa is that there's Rishus and there's Shaloi Rishus. There's going out voluntarily and going out when you're compelled to go out. And in both cases, it seems there's a Machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim. And according to Rava before, there's only one case where there's a Machloikas, and that's when you're going out for extra money. But if you're going out to sightsee, then everybody agrees that it's not called Rishus. And if you're going out to make a livelihood, everyone says it is Rishus. So whichever way you hold it, Rava and this Braisa seem to be contradicting each other. And that's the question of the Gemara. But the Gemara is going to just speak this out. The second part of the Braisa, when it says, Kishyotza Rishus, my Rishus. What does it mean that when he's Yotza Rishus, then Alocha seems to be like the Chachomim, that he can have his hair cut? What are we talking about? And again, it cannot mean he's going to make a livelihood, because there's no machlokes. It wouldn't make sense to say the halacha is like the chachomim. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue in the case where you went to make a livelihood. It must be, it's talking about what does it mean that is yotzah b'rishus, to make extra money. And that's what it says, the halacha is like the chachomim. But the way you explain the beginning of the braisa, that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda shaloi b'rishus, is l'harviach. So since Rava says there's only one place they're arguing, and the Braisa says that they're arguing that Rebbe, who says we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda by Shaloi Birshus and like the Chachomim Rishus, in the Braisa it seems they're arguing by Rishus and Shaloi Birshus. According to you, Rava, that the argument is only ever by Larvicha, it must be both parts of the Braisa are talking about Larviach, and then you've got a contradiction. Answers the Gemara Hachikoma. This is what you have to read into the Braisa. Not like we just said now, that Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a machloikus by Shaloi Birshus, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And by Birshus, there's a machloikus and the halacha is like the Chachomim. No, according to Rava, there's no way of understanding it like that. But what do you have to read into the Braisa? Nirin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbonon. Rabbi didn't say, I think the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda over the Chachomim. No. But rather, the Chachomim themselves followed Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in that case, Kishyotza Shalei Barashus. If you go out, Shalei Barashus, Umay Nihu Loshut, and that means just for sightseeing, just to roam the world, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was found favor even in the eyes of the Chachomim. And therefore, there's no Machlekas there, and it's called Shalei Barashus. And it's called that. The Shalei Barashus, and you're not allowed to have a haircut when you come back. Shafilu Chachomim lo nechluku alav. The Chachomim themselves didn't argue Rabbi Yehuda because they followed Rabbi Yehuda. Elo l'arvicha. Lo nechluku alav elo l'arvicha. They only argued Rabbi Yehuda if you went out just to make extra riches. Avaloshut, but if you went sightseeing, moidule, they agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's how you have to read the first part of the Braisa. How are you going to read the second part of the Braisa? V'nirin divrei Rabbonon l'Rabbi Yehuda, not the halachas like the Chachomim in contrast to Rabbi Yehuda. No, that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the opinion of the Chachomim, there's no machlekas if it was kashiyotz or b'rishus, if he went out with rishus. If he went out when he was compelled to leave, umayni hu lemezoynes. If he went out to make a livelihood, shafil Rabbi Yehuda lo nechluk aleim, because Rabbi Yehuda himself didn't argue with the Chachomim elul arvicha, only when he went out to make extra riches. Avul lemezoynes moiduluhu. But if he went out to make a livelihood, they agree with the Chachomim that it's considered that he went out brushus, and when he comes back, he can have his hair cut. Continues the Gemara Omar Shmuel. Koton shenoylad b'moyed, a child that was born on Chol HaMoed, and he's got hair that's bothering him. He couldn't have a haircut. There's no bigger jail than being in a mother's womb. He couldn't have a haircut before Yom Tov. Mutar legaleach b'moyed, he's allowed to have a haircut. You're allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. She'en l'cho beis asurim, there's no prison, godl mizeh, more than being stuck in the mother's womb. B'moyed in, what do we see from here? That if he was born on Chol HaMoed, then he can have a haircut. But Mi'ikara, if he was born before Yom Tov, and you could have given him the haircut before Yom Tov, loy, you're not allowed to give him a haircut on Chol HaMoed, because you could have given it to him before. Mosiv Rapinchas, and Rapinchas is going to now ask a question on that. Kol Eilu She'omru, that this is a braisa. The braisa says, "Kol elu she'omru mutar legaleach b'moed." All those that it says in the Mishnah, that in all the cases where you're allowed to have a haircut, even on Chol HaMoed, mutar legaleach b'me'ev lo'i, even an oval in those cases where normally an oval is not allowed to have a haircut. Somebody who's in mourning is not allowed to have a haircut. But if any of these cases happen, he was like let out of prison, or he came in Medina Sayom in the middle of mourning, he's allowed to have his haircut. So he says in the Braisa, at any time where Letzorech HaMoed, he's allowed to have a haircut, if he comes back B'mei Evloi, he's also allowed to have a haircut. So what do we deduce from there? We deduce from there that Ha Osu Legaleach B'moed, anybody who's not allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, Osu Legaleach B'mei Evloi. If you're not in the bracket of somebody who's not allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, then in mourning you're also not allowed to have a haircut. V'i Omrus, according to Yishmuel, it seems from Yishmuel that a child who's born on Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to have his haircut. But if a child was born before Yom Tov, then he's not allowed to have a haircut. So it would seem that if the child is born before Chol HaMoed, on Chol HaMoed he cannot have a haircut. So if a child is in mourning, if one of his seven relatives, obviously they don't all apply, but father, mother, brother, sister, he hasn't got a wife, he hasn't got a son, he hasn't got a daughter, but if he's in mourning, then if he was born before the mourning period started, he's not allowed to have a haircut. V'yamras cotton, isle isbe plukta. If you Shmuel say that when this child is born, there's a plukta, there's a difference between whether he was born before Chol HaMoed and after Chol HaMoed, or on Chol HaMoed, then Nimtzes Avelus, the same will be by Avelus, that if he's born before the Avelus, he's not allowed to have a haircut during Avelus. If he was born during Avelus, he can have a haircut. Then Nimtzes Avelus Neheges Bekotten. So we have a case where you have a little child who's a few days old, and he was born before he was in mourning, and now he's mourning, and you're not going to give him a haircut because he's in mourning. That's what it would seem, because it seems that anyone, in the same way as anyone who's allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed is allowed to have a haircut during Avelus, it would seem that anyone who's not allowed to have a haircut during Chol HaMoed is not allowed to have a haircut during Avelus. If this child is one of them, Vartanya, this seems to contradict the Braisa. We learned in the Braisa, we're going to see this later on in Maseches Moed Katan, Mekar in Lekatan, Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. We see that there are no halachas of Avelus for a cotton. And the only reason that we tear the garments of a minor during Avelus is just so the people who are seeing this, they will grieve, and it will be more of an honor for the person who passed away that the people are going to cry when they get aroused by seeing the torn clothes of a minor. But in and of itself, there's no halachas of Avelus for a cotton. See, if so, why can you not give this baby who was born before Chol HaMoed, before the mourning period, why can't you give him a haircut? And you said that, according to you, Shmuel, it seems you can't give him a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and it would seem you can't give him a haircut during mourning either. Omer Vashi, no, you made a mistake. Mikotoni ho asurin. All that we learned in the Braisa was, all Rapinchas said, Kol elu she'omru mutar legaleach b'moed, whoever's allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed is allowed to have a haircut during mourning. But it's not correct to say that anyone who's not allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed is not allowed to have a haircut during mourning. That's not accurate. It didn't say that in the Braisa. Dilma maybe, yesh mehem osur v'yesh mehem mutar. Some of those who are not allowed to have a haircut during Chol HaMoed are not allowed to have a haircut during mourning, for example, an older person, and some are mutter. There are some people, for example, a little child who's just a few days old, where he's not allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed because you could have given him the haircut before Chol HaMoed, but nonetheless, even if he's born before the mourning period, he's allowed to have a haircut during mourning period because there's no halachas of Avelus for a cotton. Continues the Gemara. Ameimer, v'itamer of Shisha Breder of Idi, it's not clear who it was, Masni Hocha. They taught it as follows. Omar Shmuel said, cotton mutter legalchi b'moed, that you're allowed to give a haircut to a little baby, loishno to a minor, loishno noilad b'moed, loishno noilad mikora. Not like we saw in the first version of Shmuel. In this version of Shmuel, it's irrespective of when he was born, you're allowed to give him his haircut on Chol HaMoed. Omar of Pinchas. Of Pinchas said, afanan namitanina, I'll bring you proof from the Braisa. Because it says, Kol elu she'omru mutar legaleach b'moed, mutar legaleach b'me'evloi. We learnt in the Braisa that anybody who's allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed is allowed to have a haircut during Avelus. Ha asurim legaleach b'moed, but anyone who's not allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, asurim legaleach b'me'evlo, is also not allowed to have a haircut during Avelus. And he says, Iomris cotton osur, if you would say that a baby that's born before Avelus is not allowed to have a haircut during Avelus, nimtus Avelus neheges bekotten. That means if you would say that a cotton was born before Chol HaMoed cannot have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and you would say that the same would apply by mourning, then you'd have a little baby in mourning. And there's no such thing. Well, Tanya Mekarin lekotten mipnei agmas nefesh, like as we saw before from the Braisa, the only reason that you tear his garments is in order to arouse other people to grieve, but there's no Avelus for the little child. Omer Rav Ashi refuted the proof of Rav Pinchas and says, Mi katoni ho asurim? You don't have proof because it doesn't say anywhere that anyone who's not allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed is not allowed to have a haircut during mourning. Dilma maybe, yesh men osur, v'yesh men mutar. Some of those who are allowed to have a haircut, who are not allowed to have a haircut during Chol HaMoed, are not allowed to have a haircut on during mourning, for example, an older person, and some are allowed, and therefore you don't have any proof that from the fact that a little child is allowed to have a haircut during mourning, you would have no proof from there that a child born before Chol HaMoed is allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. It could well be that he cannot have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, even though regarding the halachas of mourning, they would not apply even to a child that was born before the mourning period started. Continues the Gemara. Ovel einu noeg avelusoi beregel. An ovel, there's no avelus on Yom Tov. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, v'somachto b'kachagecho. It says that there's a mitzvah to be happy on Yom Tov, and you can't be in mourning and be happy at the same time, so the halachas of avelus don't apply. Says the Gemara, I avelus demi'ikorohu, if the avelus started before Yom Tov, osu aseidu rabim, v'dochu aseidu yochid, then the mitzvah saseh, which applies to everybody of the samachta b'chagecho, is a stronger type of mitzvah saseh. It overrides the mitzvah saseh of avelus, which is just for the individual. Vi avelus dehashtahu, but if it's an avelus that started on Yom Tov, then loy osi asei de yochid v'dochi asei de rabim. Then the mitzvah saseh of the yochid, of an individual, to mourn, does not override the mitzvah asei derabim of Yom Tov, which means that irrespective of when the avelus started, on Yom Tov there's no halachas of avelus. Continues the Gemara. Menuda, somebody who's excommunicated. Ma'u sheyin hoig niduyov beregel. Does he have to act and keep all the halachas of nidui, of excommunication, over Yom Tov? It would seem to infringe on the requirement of v'samachto b'chagecho. Omer Rav Yosef is going to try and bring a proof from a Braisa. Toshima, the Braisa says, Donin dine nefoshes, on Chol HaMoed. If you've got a question, if somebody is chayav miso, is punishable by death or not, then they look into the halachas there, they judge even dine nefoshes on Chol HaMoed. V'dine makos, and somebody who, where there's a discussion whether he's chayav for malchus to get lashes. V'dine momenos, or the halachas of monetary issues, that all these things that dayonim sit and discuss it even on Chol HaMoed. That's what it says in the Braisa. So what do we assume from there? We assume that they discuss it, they come to a decision, and they tell the person, this one is chayev, this one is not chayev. So in the case of momenos, for example, they say, you owe this person money. And if what happens if the person doesn't listen to Beis Din? If the person doesn't listen to Beis Din, then he gets excommunicated. So it would seem from the fact that you make these judgments on Chol HaMoed that if he doesn't listen, we excommunicate him, even though it's Chol HaMoed. So it would seem that the halachas of excommunication apply on Chol HaMoed. Because if we are going to say that on Yom Tov the halachas of excommunication do not apply, Meshumas v'osi mi'ikora, Osi regel dochile, then if you're going to say that even if he was already excommunicated before Yom Tov, and Yom Tov comes, the halachas of his excommunication get put on hold, then hashtu meshamtinon le'anan? Is it possible that on Chol HaMoed that we're going to actually excommunicate him? Of course not. And therefore, if it says that we are done in dine momenes, and if somebody doesn't listen, we take it for granted that we excommunicate him, it must be that the halachas of the excommunication apply even on Yom Tov. Omale Abaya. Abaya disagreed with Rav Yosef and said, no, v'dilma li'iyuna b'dine. Maybe all you see from that braisa is that the chachomim, they discuss the halacha, who is chayev and who's not chayev. But not that they actually say this, they don't actually tell the people this is the halacha. And if they don't tell the people it's the halacha, then the people won't be able to not listen. So there won't be an issue of excommunication. Because it has to be that way, that they're only discussing the halachas and they're not actually coming to the final ruling, because dine nefoshes diktoni, because one of the things that Dayanim discuss is whether somebody is chayev misa. Hochanami de kotlin only? Is it possible that they actually, when they give their final ruling, that they're actually going to kill this person on Yom Tov? V'hoko mimne misimchas Yom Tov. They're going to prevent the Dayanim from having simchas Yom Tov, because the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Akiva Oimir, minayin Sanhedrin sherou be'echot shehorgu es hanefesh. Or let's leave the brackets. Rabbi Akiva says that the Sanhedrin, who they kill, the day that they kill somebody who's chayiv misa, she'en to'em in kol yos hayom, then they don't eat anything. From that point, they don't eat. Talmud loyma, how do we know that to be true? Because it says in the pasuk, lo yisoichlu al hadom, that on the day that blood is being shed, on the day that somebody is being killed, the Sanhedrin have to fast. And on Yom Tov it says, "V'samachta b'chagecha." So it's clearly that they're not enacting the dine nefoshes that day. And in the same way as they only discuss the dine nefoshes, but they don't actually give the ruling. So too dine momenes, they just discuss it. They don't do the ruling. If they don't do the ruling, then there's no issue of excommunication. So we don't have proof that somebody who was excommunicated before Yom Tov, that the halachas applied to him. Elo le'iyune b'dine, they discuss the din, the halacha, by dine nefoshes. So too, regarding the momenos, they only look into the halacha, they don't actually give the ruling. Omale, Rav Yosef responded to this and says, no. As soon as you know what the halacha is going to be, you have to enact on the din, you have to pass the ruling, because otherwise there's a halacha of ma'ane es dinoi, of delaying the din. As soon as you know what the din is, you have to come forward with it. And therefore, says Rav Yosef, that also the dine nefoshes, also the dine momenes, that you have to enact it straight as soon as you know the halachas. And therefore, says Rav Yosef, since you have to do these halachas, then if he's not going to listen, you have to excommunicate him. And therefore, it would seem that the halachas of excommunication do not get overridden by Yom Tov. And you're going to ask a question, that if you're going to judge the halachas of dine nefoshes and the Beis Din are going to kill this person, you're going to prevent the Beis Din from having simchas Yom Tov because they have to fast. Asu mitzafra, no, I'll tell you how to get around that. Asu mitzafra, they come in the morning of Chol HaMoed, uma'ayne b'dine, and they spend the day discussing the halacha. Va'ayli va'ochli v'shasu kula yoyma, they can eat and drink the whole day, they haven't come to a final ruling yet. V'hadu asu b'shkiyas hachamo, and they come at the end of the day. V'gomrinon l'dine, they finalize the din. V'kotlo lei, and then they have to kill him straight away. But because it's just at the end of the day, they don't need to fast for the whole day. They're only fasting from when they've made their final ruling. And therefore, it's not going to prevent them from Simchas Yom Tov. Omar Abaya wants to bring proof. Toshima, umanudor sheitiru loy chachomim. We saw in our Mishnah that somebody was excommunicated, where the chachomim, they undid the excommunication on Chol HaMoed, and he's allowed to have his hair cut. Before Yom Tov, he's in a state of excommunication, he's not allowed to have a haircut. So in the Mishnah it says that the chachomim undid his excommunication on Chol HaMoed. And so what do you see from there? That this seems to apply to all excommunication, where as soon as Chol HaMoed comes, you can now, the halachas of excommunication do not apply. Like we saw, Abaya doesn't agree with Rav Yosef, that doesn't apply, and because of a samachto b'chagecho, and he can have his hair cut. Omar Rava said no. Mikotoni shehitiru chachomim. It doesn't say there that the chachomim just always blanketly said that anyone who was excommunicated before Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, the halachas don't apply. No. is Shehitiru Loi Chachomim Katoni. The Mishnah says Shehitiru Loi. This particular person, his excommunication was undone, not because it was Yom Tov, but for a different, not because it was Chol HaMoed, but for a different reason. The Ozel Upaisi Lebal Dine. He went and he appeased the person he owes money to, and at this point on, we have no more reason. He's not in a fight anymore. There's no halacha of Beis Din that he's not listening to, so we can undo the excommunication from him. V'osu kamei derabonon v'sharu lei. Since they came to an agreement, they came to Beis Din, and Beis Din said, we no longer have a reason to excommunicate him, so they undid the excommunication, not because it's Hilchas Yom Tov, not because it's Chol HaMoed, but because there's no more reason to be excommunicated. Continues the Gemara, Metzaira mau sheyanhig tzorasei beregel. If somebody's a Metzaira, and now Yom Tov arrives, do the halachas of tzoras apply to him? Omar Abaya, Toshima, Abaya says, we'll try and bring proof. And we already learnt about this earlier on. Han vanozir v'hametzaira mitum osoi letarosoi. Because we saw in the Mishnah that if the Nazir or the Metzaira comes to the end of his Tzoras period, and now he has to have a haircut as to conform with the halachas of Tzoras, then he's allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. But what's it seem from there? Hab yemeitum osoy. All the while he's still a Metzaira, noig. He's not allowed to have a haircut. It's only when it's mitum osoy letarosi, once he becomes toyer. But all the while he's a Metzaira, he's not allowed to have a haircut. So you see that Yom Tov does not override the Halachas of Tzoras. Says the Gemara, Loi mi boya ka omar. Loi mi, that means it goes without saying. Loi mi boya bi meitum osoi deloi noig. It could be, says the Gemara, that, or asks the Gemara, maybe the reason the Mishnah mentions from Tuma to Taira, that the end of his Tzoras period, he's allowed to have a haircut, maybe it means as follows, that during his Tuma period, of course, deloi noig, that the halachas of Tzoras don't apply and he's allowed to have his haircut. Avol letarosoi, I would have thought that when he comes to the end of his Tzoras and now he's tohir, I may have thought that now you shouldn't allow him to have a haircut because there's a halacha. Once you have your haircut, you have to bring certain korbonos. Nigzer, we should make a decree. Shemo yashe korbonosov. Maybe he'll delay bringing his korbonos till the last day of Yom Tov. And you're not allowed to bring a private korban on Yom Tov. And maybe he's going to delay and not bring it on Chol HaMoed. And on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to. So I may have thought that only because he's now become Tohir and he's going to bring a korban, we have this issue. Komash Malon, that's what the Mishnah is telling us, a Chiddush, saying we're not worried about that. That even when he's mituma letaira, now he's come to the end of his tumah, he's allowed to have his haircut on Chol HaMoed, and we're not afraid that he's going to delay bringing his korbanos till the last day of Yom Tov. And therefore, you don't have a proof from our Mishnah. Omar Rava, Toshima. Rava wants to bring a proof as follows. It says in the Pasuk says, V'hatzorua. It says, V'hatzorua ashaboy hanega, begod of you perumim, v'roisha ye perua, v'al sofam yate, v'tomi tomi yikro. It says, V'hatzorua. So we learn in, we're going to see this later on Daf Tezvov, L'rabo is kohen gadol, that any Metzaira, even a Kohen Gadol, the halachas of Tzoras apply to a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol who's a Metzaira has the halachas of Tzoras. Says the Gemara, V'ha Kohen Gadol, regarding a Kohen Gadol, the Kol HaShono Keregel. When it comes to the halachas of mourning, for example, of Avelus, we know that on Yom Tov, as we saw before, there's no halachas of Avelus. A Kohen Gadol never has Avelus. The Kol HaShono Keregel, the Lekule Alma Domi. That the whole year for a Kohen Gadol is like a Yom Tov for everybody else. Dutnan, as we saw in the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol makriv oinon. Even when he's in oinon, he's in mourning, he's allowed to bring korbonis. Ve'ein oichel, he's not in the state of oinon, he's not allowed to eat the kodshim. But you see that the Kohen has the status of Yom Tov, in as much as that even ba'avelos, he's allowed to continue doing the avoida. And so he's got the status of Yom Tov the whole year, and you see here that the halachas of Mitzoras apply to him. We learn it from the word v'hatzorua, that Kohen Gadol halachas of Tzoras apply. So it would seem from here that the halachas Shema Mino, we can bring proof from here, that Noyeg Tzoras Oy Beregel, that the halachas of Tzoras apply even on Yom Tov. Shema Mino, indeed, there's proof from here that somebody who's a Mitzoira has to keep the halachas of Mitzoira, he cannot have his haircut on Yom Tov. And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.